Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to USTA Florida's Here to Serve podcast. We have a great lineup for you today, and we're going to talk about a topic that is really fun and also very exciting for me personally. We're going to talk about the return of wheelchair tennis in the post-COVID-19 environment, and I have four awesome guests joining me today, so I'm going to get right to it and introduce each of them. I have Joe Wallen, who is the Director of Adult Competition at USTA. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you for having me.
I also have joining us Jennifer Edmondson, who is the Chair of the USTA Wheelchair Committee. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Joining Jennifer and Joe today are two of our awesome staff members. We have Ron Lyons, who is our Diversity and Outreach Coordinator for USTA Florida. Ron has been on several of our podcasts. He's a familiar face, so welcome back, Ron.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
And we have another new face with Bill Hannigan, who is our Tennis Service Representative down in Southwest Florida. Welcome, Bill, to the podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Well, it is a pleasure to have all of you. I have the fortune of working with all of you on this particular topic, which is a great joy for me. So I wanted to kick things off by asking each of you how you got involved in wheelchair tennis and what your current role is in that space. So Ronald, you're in my top right corner. I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, definitely. So I got introduced to wheelchair tennis by volunteering at the National Campus. They have a program called National Rollers, and I used to volunteer there probably every Wednesday before my league match. So I met some great people, and it was a great opportunity for me to just learn more about wheelchair tennis, and that was my first interaction. Fortunately, my role as Diversity and Outreach Coordinator has given me the opportunity to oversee wheelchair tennis more closely and get involved with that. So yeah, that's been exciting for me, just to learn more.
Joe, you're up next. You've been involved in this space for quite a bit of time. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in and how it relates to your current role.
Yeah, I don't know about involved for a lot of time because I'm still learning too. Every day we learn something new. So before I moved to Florida 4 years ago, I was in Lexington, Kentucky, and I was looking for jobs with USTA down in Florida. And the one was Director of Adult Individual Play and Wheelchair Tennis. And I was like, okay, I've got the individual play. I'm okay with that. But I'm like, I'm not sure about this wheelchair part. I'm gonna have to do a lot of research. So that's why I say every day, you know, because now I'm just still learning every single day. So it's been 4 years of learning. My job now has expanded on the adult side, but it's still kept with wheelchair, which I'm super excited about because that has really become a true passion for me. So we oversee everything from grassroots all the way up to the US Open. So I'm really excited. And as I said, learning every day. I've been involved for a while, but every day we need to learn.
Well, it's actually a credit to you that we met Bill. So I'm going to go from you to Bill and talk a little bit about Bill. How did you make your way into your current role with USTA Florida and wheelchair tennis?
Yeah, it's funny the way you say that. It's like life does come in a full circle as you do. So 25 years ago, I was hurt in a motorcycle accident, which left me paralyzed from the chest down. So I got involved in adaptive sports and was very fortunate to make myself a career out of it. And I became the adaptive sports specialist for the Wounded Warrior Project, which gave me the opportunity to meet Joanne Whalen because we partnered between Wounded Warrior Project and USTA doing Warriors Served and offering wheelchair tennis. And one of those things I always say, I'm not going to ask somebody to try something if I don't do it myself. So I was out there trying the tennis and was not too good at it, but really hurt my ego. So I was like, I want to get better at this. And the crazy thing, a position opened up as a TSR right in Tampa. And of course we applied and got the job. And the great thing is, again, I really want to learn and be passionate about tennis. And it's really exciting. I think there was more to offer to tennis because I didn't give it a real shot at first, wheelchair tennis. And now that I'm working in the field and doing it, it's been a real adventure and it's exciting. So I'm looking forward. As you know, I'm learning every day with tennis. I'm the new kid and everybody hits me in the ball, which I don't like because I don't get it back all the time. But
well, we're all sort of newbies except for our next one, which is Jennifer. Jennifer's been in this space the longest. So Jennifer, do you want to tell us about your background and how you got involved in wheelchair tennis and what your role is now?
Sure. So 26 years ago, I graduated from physical therapy school and started working in a rehabilitation hospital. And that hospital was one of the major sponsors for something called the Cajun Classic Wheelchair Tennis Tournament, which I had never heard of. And so I went out to the tournament and was just blown away by the level of athleticism and the spirit of all the players. And I started volunteering at that tournament and continued to moved through different positions volunteering, eventually became tournament director, and then started becoming more involved at the district and section and national levels with wheelchair tennis. And although I've been around for a long time, I'm still learning every single day and appreciate the opportunity to be such a part of wonderful changes that are going on in the wheelchair tennis landscape right now.
And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So, and you're going to be our go-to person because you're the most experienced on that front. But I want to go back to Joe for just a minute, because you said something really important earlier about how you made your way to USTA. And I think that really started a new era for focusing more on wheelchair tennis when you came down to the campus. So can you talk a little bit about some of the work that's been done on the staff side to maybe increase the focus on wheelchair play over the last few years?
Sure. And I was thinking about this, and there's one word, and it's inclusion. And I know it's kind of silly to say, it's kind of cliche, but I think when I first started, I felt that we were on an island, like our little wheelchair world was on an island. It wasn't included in everything that was happening, right? So I would even look at marketing, and there was nothing on wheelchair. I couldn't find wheelchair anywhere. So I'm sure that all the marketing and probably everyone was like, oh God, there's that woman again coming at us with wheelchair. But it was like every single day I was pushing, like, okay, where's our wheelchair inclusion? We're talking about tonic, where's our wheelchair? We're talking about something else, where's our wheelchair? So I think for me, pushing that and really having us focus on that, now I would say 95% of the time, it's already included in everything that we do. So that's been a big push. And then the other big push really is our national coach making the move, obviously down here to the national campus, and that helped with inclusion and him being included in PD. That really made a big change too, because we now have the player development side really included as well. So like when I do think about that, that is the true word, inclusion. And I think now with some of the changes Jen is talking about too, we'll actually have even more inclusion over the whole company with USTAU, additional people in the tournament space helping. So again, it's kind of just putting little crawlers out into the whole company that somebody in each department has a small responsibility for wheelchair tennis. And I think that's probably the biggest change and how we've been able to really get wheelchair almost to the forefront of a lot of the conversations.
That's a great segue, actually, right on over to you, Jennifer, to come back to as the chair of the wheelchair committee and also a tournament director yourself. I do know that there are some exciting changes that are coming on the tournament and competitive side. So can you talk a little bit about those changes and maybe how those will help create some more play opportunities across the country?
Absolutely. I think, like I mentioned earlier, this has been the most exciting changes happening to wheelchair tennis from my experience anyway. And I think the goal here overall is to just provide a product for our consumers. What do our constituents want? And so we started there looking at everything overall when we were asked to join adult and junior competition with the tournament restructure, the level structure, moving from the national categories to the levels. And tournaments are extremely important in the wheelchair tennis world, because as you guys know, locally, when you are on the able-bodied side of tennis, you could have 20 people in your phone that you could text to go play on any given night. And for our wheelchair tennis players in any geographical area, they don't have as many people to reach out to play. And even if you have a relatively large, say maybe 15, 20 people in your local community, they could all be at such different levels that it's really not a true competitive experience. And so our tournaments give that opportunity to the wheelchair tennis players, not that they can't participate in all of the traditional league and tournaments that USTA, you know, promotes and provides for all of us tennis players, but the wheelchair tennis tournaments are extremely important to our population. And so we really felt that putting some time and energy into looking at what we could do to make the tournaments a better experience was, it was very important to us. And so we did configure the levels 1 through 5, very similarly to what adult comp and junior comp has done. The 1 is kind of congruent with what a level 1 is on the adult side of the house. And then a 7 would, adult 7 would be congruent with what our 5 is. And so we, as we were looking at those levels, we then started kind of doing a deeper dive into the divisions and the eligibility. And we decided it was going to be time to maybe do some focus groups and do some outreach to our players and say, what can we do to give you a better tournament experience? And the overall theme that we heard back was, we want to play more. We want to be able to play more matches, and we want to be able to have a jam-packed weekend. If we have to travel to go with other, you know, people who we can compete with, then let's make the best of that situation. So we decided to create 4 new divisions in the, on the amateur side, the recreational side. And instead of being gender-based divisions, they are ability-based divisions. And that is, again, something that's unique to the wheelchair tennis world, because that's really what affects your play, might be the level of your disability. And so when we had so many divisions, people would go to tournaments and play the same quote-unquote people or whatever. That was another common theme we heard. And so we're hoping by having these consolidated divisions that the players will get a lot more play and a lot of different competitors. Still kept intact our professional divisions as they were, men, women, and quad. And then also streamline our junior product into 1 junior division. And then we'll continue to promote net gen, red ball play, and things like that. So that's kind of our overall structure. But the 1 national tournament structure was our goal. We wanted 1 structure that was going to be uniforming and a consumer-friendly product, as the USTA has done with all of our tournament products. And also, along with that, 1 national ranking system as well. We've done away with the sectional rankings. You can still filter down to get number 1 in a particular section, but it's a 1 overall tournament system and 1 overall ranking system. And I think that's going to, we're hopeful that's going to provide all of our players great opportunities for 2021.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I think I was just talking recently with Ivan Barron about the junior tournament space, and simpler tends to be more friendly to the provider as well. And I know one of our goals here is to get providers to run more events. So the simpler that it is, the easier that it is to understand, and the better chance they have of participation, I think opens that door for more of our providers to actually be able to navigate the space. And that's a good segue to you, Ronald, because like Joe said earlier, for us, wheelchair was kind of on its own island in Florida for quite a bit of time. And then you have been working with now a project team that combines our staff and also some of our very active volunteers to put together a plan for how we can work more across the board to grow wheelchair play here in Florida. Can you talk a little bit about the work that that team has been doing and maybe how our providers can get more involved in delivering these programs and events?
Yeah, definitely. So our wheelchair project team has focused a lot on integrating our integrating wheelchair tennis into our new programs, like creating new programs and also our existing programs. So a big focus this year, what we wanted to do was just research and basically find those programs that we can market so a lot of our players could get involved. We felt like a lot of the players didn't really know how they could get involved across the state. So what USTA Florida, our project team, wants to do, we just wanted to create a database on our website just to make sure that this is where you go to find these programs and this is how you get involved. So we made sure that everything across the state was on our calendar so that we can focus on that marketing piece, because we felt like that's what we were missing, was the marketing for these wheelchair programs. And I think our providers can get involved by hosting a lot of these programs so that more of these players can get attracted to wheelchair tennis. They can attend trainings, also host tournaments. But right now, a lot of things are slower due to COVID. But in the future, we do want to get the ball rolling a little quicker. So we're in the researching phase right now. We're working through those.
Excellent. We're going to get to the COVID space in just a minute because we do have some updates there. I want to turn to you, Bill, because you wear a couple of different hats for us. Obviously, you're on our wheelchair project team, which is amazing. You're a TSR who is dedicated to growing grassroots tennis in your area. So I want to ask you, as a player who's somewhat new to the sport of tennis, what do you think we need to focus on to attract more wheelchair tennis players at the local level?
It's funny, I was sitting listening to Jennifer speak about how, and Joanne, the integration of wheelchair tennis and supporting it from grassroots. And it's such a unique entity when it comes to adaptive sports. Because if you go across the board, every sport, basketball, softball, they're their own entity. Even though they're part of that sport, they're separate. And so it's a real fine line to try to be inclusionary without excluding as well, because it's also intimidating to many wheelchair athletes. So listening to how we've broken it down, it's amazing, because you still go out and you get the highly competitive. I think by having it based on ability and not gender is amazing, because there'd be so many times you'd have maybe three or four women, but no other athletes. So now you go by ability, there's a bigger pool. It's more conducive to having bigger tournaments and having, and then being inclusionary. And then I think with our team project and national, we realized that we started going out and supporting the already existing wheelchair programs, which they've never had. They've always done everything on their own. So now they're refreshed that we're trying to help them, which will help bring in new athletes. And then they can also support the community for new programs that want to blossom as well. So that in itself is so new to me in the whole disability community itself. So you can do a lot of grassroots where they're comfortable, but now you're offering more opportunities to win. Because I think also people forget, when you're highly competitive, you're not always willing or have the time to bring somebody new along in tennis, because you're focusing on your own career. Where with this, there's so many levels that make it that much easier and that much inclusive.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, we're trying to do a much better job of promoting and supporting the providers who've been doing this for years. So just because USTA Florida wasn't necessarily focusing on this space, there are a lot of people out there that were doing great work here in Florida. So the more we can support them, learn from what they're doing, I think is going to help us figure out how we can bring in new people. I'm going to stay with you, Bill, because my last question is for everyone. And I do want to go back to the COVID-19 pandemic. So I want to ask each of you, how has it impacted wheelchair players, and has it impacted you more than maybe other players? And what can we do to provide better guidance? So Bill, I'll start with you. How has it impacted you, and what can we do to provide guidance so you can get out there and play?
For one, I think when you're a wheelchair athlete and your respiratory issues, right away, the way COVID attacks your respiratory, I think it terrified all wheelchair athletes at first. And then a lot of us sometimes get to the point where I've been disabled and I'm not going to let this hold me back, and I just want to get out and play, and you won't let me play. So you kind of get mixed reviews across the board. I just think, like, for right now, the program we had locally in Tampa, unfortunately, due to the parks, we're still not up and running. We could play on our own. But you know, you're just more comfortable playing under the guidance of a coach and everything like that. So I think they're doing great. It's hard. You just want to be educated as much as possible to understand the effects and what's out there. And unfortunately, I don't think anybody in the world has those answers. So that in itself, I wish I could just say I got the one thing that I want to know, but I don't. And then there's just times like, I just want to go out and play, because I got the bug now and I'm totally excited and can't wait to get out there and run more tournaments. I just think the best way is safe. And the great thing is, honestly, tennis is probably one of the safest, sport you can go back and play. And it's like, you don't have to touch each other. You get your own separate balls, come out and let's make it happen. And I always love seeing our commercials on TV saying, let's get back out there. So I'm just excited.
That's a great perspective that we probably don't hear very frequently. And I know, Jennifer, as a physical therapist, what's your perspective on how COVID has impacted the wheelchair athletes? What are you seeing? Are you seeing something similar to what Bill is saying?
Yes, I think that's been a very popular question with the wheelchair tennis athletes. Are they at more risk, or are they not at more risk? And I think it goes back to, just like me and you and everyone else, we have to evaluate our own risk based on our own health. Do I have asthma? That really doesn't have anything to do maybe with me having a physical disability that puts me in a wheelchair. So I think inherently globally, the answer might be yes, there's a little bit more risk involved, but it still depends on each individual's disability and their overlying or underlying health condition. So it's just such an individual thing, as it is with COVID, with each one of us. And I think we're all struggling with, I've talked to several of our pros that run programs here, for example, just in Louisiana, and people want to get back on the court, but at the same time, everyone's nervous about doing that. And I know one thing, Joe and I actually chatted yesterday about having a conference call with some of our tournament directors with upcoming tournaments in the next few months to try to just make sure that they understand that, you know, from the USTA's perspective, we're here for them to support them and hear their concerns. We want people to have tournaments when it's appropriate and when it's safe to do so, because we want the athletes to get back out and play. And at the same time, we just want to do everything we can to support, because it is very gray. You know, the recommendations, how do I implement those at a tournament versus just, you know, what am I, even in your own home, sometimes you're struggling with, do I wipe the groceries or not? So, you know, I think it's something that we can do from our perspective, from the committee and staff side, is try to just support everyone with their specific concerns in their specific areas. But it's definitely affected play, but it's not going to stop us from getting back out there for sure.
I think that's a great perspective. And you mentioned the guidelines, so I'm going to go to Ron and Joe next, because I know USTA and USTA Florida have been working on putting out some safe play guidelines, which we're going to be releasing with this podcast. So I'll start with you, Joe. You know, in terms of the guidelines, what do participants and providers need to know in terms of safety that might be a little bit different for a wheelchair player or a wheelchair program from a regular program?
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, as you know, tomorrow is massive tournament starts for wheelchair tennis, right? It's the U.S. Open that starts tomorrow. So, like, that's almost been on a different level. And I'm, you know, obviously very involved with that. But from a local side, you know, tennis is not the problem, right? The actual sport of tennis is not the problem. It's how we get there and that kind of stuff. So some of the guidelines, you know, especially if you're a quad, is making sure that, you know, you're not, how you're opening even like water bottles, right? Or you're taping. You know, I know that David Wagner, one of our best players in the quad division, he uses his mouth to like take off the tape. I know that he's talking to me about how he changes that. You know, we had a conversation about how the ball people are going to give him, you know, towels or help him and they're not allowed to. So I think that kind of stuff. So, I mean, really, that's almost the only difference with wheelchair, right? So as Jennifer said, everyone's different, right? Because we've had this conversation. It was, should we go ahead with wheelchair? And they said, yes, the wheelchair players are no different than somebody else that may have an underlying health condition. So again, being super smart is like when you're going, staying 6 feet away, having your mask on, you know, when you're not playing, you know, keeping your own balls, that kind of stuff is important. So hopefully when we start wheelchair tomorrow at US Open, you know, we're all set and everyone can actually at least go back to watching some tennis and wheelchair tennis. And then hopefully, you know, when it's safe in the local areas, we'll be back to playing full time.
I think there's a great example of, you know, if a provider is out there and they're like, I'm not sure how I would do this, watch the US Open and see what's happening with the wheelchair play, because that's going to be a good demonstration of probably safety techniques. I do want to come back to you, Ronald, because I know we took a look at the guidelines and we, you know, definitely asked some of those same questions, like some of the things maybe didn't apply to wheelchair players the way that they apply to other players. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, what our providers and participants at the local level would have to most think about when they're restarting their wheelchair programs?
Yeah, I think right now, since this is the new normal and the guidelines are going to be so beneficial, our local providers are just going to have to think about everything as far as, like, okay, when I'm running a tournament, what are the specific things that I need to do? When I'm hosting programs, what are some of the specific things that I have to do? So I think once they look through the guidelines and then they look at all the specifics, they're gonna be able to realize, okay, this is how I can adapt to my programs and all of the events that I run. So it's gonna be program to program, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And obviously, the four wonderful people that are on this podcast are awesome resources that we have. So if you are a provider or a player out there and you have questions about, is it safe to play? What should I be thinking of? I'm a provider. I want to start my wheelchair program, but I don't really know what to do. please reach out to us. We are a resource and that's what we're here to do. So I hope all of you will definitely reach out and ask those important questions, because we are eager to get programs up and running this fall. Like Bill said, we're trying to get more people back on the court, and we definitely want wheelchair to be a part of it. So thank you all. I think that was my last question. Thank you all so much for joining me today and for all the work that you're doing in this space. It really is a pleasure and I'm learning a lot. So thank you.
Thanks for having us, Laura. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Laura.
For those of you who are listening to the audio only version of this podcast, please visit USTA Florida's Facebook page to check out the full video and to leave your questions and comments underneath, and to see a full list of upcoming episodes of the Here to Serve podcast, including dates and topics, visit ustaflorida.com/here to serve. Thanks for tuning in. Stay safe, and we will see you on the courts.